last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We're back to discuss the increase in points for so many courses in the CEO. So many disappointments, I think, today for those particularly who just sat the Leaving Cert and for others who were coming back into the system having done so in previous years. We'll get to that after we have had the traffic.
Today FM Travel Update.
With itsforwomen.ie. Car and health insurance anytime. Online with itsforwomen.ie.
There's a delay on the N7 into Dublin before Junction 2 Kingswood to a crash in the right lane before Junction 1A Newlands Cross. There's a rubbernecking delay on the outbound side back to the Naistrow Junction with Longmall Road. In Kildare, traffic is slow on the M4 westbound approaching a collision in the right lane between Junction 7 Maynooth and Junction 8 Kilcock, as well as passing it on the eastbound side. Traffic on the M7 westbound is slow from Junction 8 Johnstown to a crash in the right lane at Junction 9A Salins, and there's a queue in Cork on the North Ring Road eastbound between the Ballyhooley Road Junction and Tinker's Cross. Mark Hogan, Today FM Travel.
Have the last word. Text or WhatsApp us on 087 4 100 102.
The last word
with Matt Cooper
on Today FM.
No, an enormous amount of people today discovered their CAO fate. There were 89,300 applications made this year to the Central Applications Office for third level places. That was up over 6,000 on last year. And even though the points dropped in the Leaving Cert last week, the outcomes, as we discussed on the programme, the increase in the demand means that the points have gone up for very many courses. And it seems so about 80% of applicants got one of their first three choices. Owen Houlihan is Guidance Counsellor with the Institute of Guidance Counsellors in Ireland. What's your initial assessment of what has happened?
Good evening, Matt. How are you? Yeah, I suppose there's going to be a lot of maybe disappointed students out there, particularly when you see that only 51% of Level 8 received their first preference. So nearly half the students then didn't, you know, get what they were hoping for.
And is that unusual, Owen? Is it normally that low a level getting their first choice if they've got the points?
I believe last year it was somewhere in the region of 58%. So it has, you know, it has that 58% would have got their first choice last year. So yes, it has dropped, you know, considerably, I suppose, this year. And I suppose, you know, you have the grade deflation, but also I suppose you have more people applying for college courses. And I suppose that has led to all of this. And I suppose the SEC are trying to level things up since COVID time. So, you know, there is, I suppose, that that element of it, and I suppose it is disappointing maybe for some students out there. But, you know, as you said there, when you look at the 80% who got the first three preferences, you know, usually when students are putting in their order of preference, you know, they're usually looking for the first, second or third, you know, that's really, you know, they're kind of looking at courses that are kind of linked and will get them into the area of work they want to go to. And I suppose, listen, the nature of the world of work now very much so is that, you know, students can come out of college, university, get into jobs, and then once they're in various jobs and careers, they can move around. And you know, I suppose, you know, there is that aspect of it. And, you know, I suppose for some students that, you know, are maybe disappointed there this evening, you know, one of the things I would suggest is that they perhaps look at their component marks of their papers. And, you know, say a student, you know, was hoping to get a H3 and they got a H4, and they look at the component marks and they see, okay, I was in around 58 or 59%. Well, that process on the student self-service portal, that closes tonight at 8 p.m. So if students do want to kind of have a look at their scripts on Saturday and Sunday, it's really important that before 8 p.m. tonight to go onto the candidate self-service portal and register their interest in that. Have a look at the papers. If they're marked online, they can do it from the comfort of their own home. They can take screenshots of, you know, their papers if they want to show teachers. But then they have to make a decision then whether they're going to have their papers remarked. And, you know,
that's really interesting, because there's a listener here who says, isn't it unfair that the inflated grades from last year are competing with this year's deflated grades? My son missed his course by 1 point. Now, we can get to the inflated and deflated in a second, but if you missed your course by 1 point, would that mean that there is sense to go back into maybe one or two of your papers? And if you then got an upgrade and got a lift in points, would that mean that you would get an offer for the course that you might just have missed out on?
Absolutely. So I would say anybody out there who fell short, like 1 or 2 points or whatever, I certainly would go and look at some of your parents, or look at your papers, beg your pardon, and, you know, look at those percentages. And if they're up, you know, as I say, if they're up near the 70% or 80% or 90%, then it's definitely worthwhile. And if they are entitled, so if they do get their grades increase, they will get their money back. It's €40 per Leave and Start paper, and they will get that back, and then they will be offered a place. However, if the college places have all been offered and the college can't put them on this year, they will be guaranteed their place next year, you know, because universities
would be very sore on, wouldn't it, if you discovered that you hadn't been marked properly, that you should have had more points, and you've missed out on a place, and then you're told, but we filled the course, so you're going to have to come back next year.
Yeah, and now listen, that's not an all course. These, when I say that sometimes you might have to wait till next year, these are more of the, you know, the courses where, you know, because of health and safety reasons or whatever, they can't take in more people. And remember, it's the government, the department that are setting the number of students that can go on each course, you know, not the universities themselves. So they're, you know, they're allocated X amount of places, so they have to abide by that. So yes, it can be disappointing, but at least you know that next year you do have your place. But in a lot of cases, people that are entitled to it will get their place this year, and universities will honour that.
Stay in the line, Owen. I want to bring in Daniel Walsh, Vice President for the Dublin Region of the Union of Students in Ireland. Daniel, what do you make of this point inflation at a time of grade deflation and the ability of the system to have enough places available for the students looking for them?
Hi, Matt. Well, I suppose first we're delighted to see so many young people pursuing higher education. But, you know, as Owen noted, there's been a fairly significant increase in applications through CAO this year. Something in the region of 89,000 students applied. And as a result of that, there is going to be that level of grade inflation, which is only emphasised then, I suppose, by the points inflation or deflation that we've seen this year. But, and I think Owen touched on it a little bit, really this kind of issue comes up every year, and it only underscores the need for further investment into the sector, into these higher education institutes, because it's already severely and chronically underfunded and has been by successive governments.
Sorry, underfunded in what way? What specifically needs more money?
Well, the Irish Universities Association, in their report 2 years ago, they identified a 72 million shortfall in funding. So it's really, it's across the board. It's in places, it's in accommodation, it's in facilities that would enable the HEIs to make these places available.
The reason I ask that, Daniel, is we're always told that the answer is throwing more money at something, but does that ever solve anything? And if that money was to be suddenly applied to the higher education system, would it really bring about more places for students and courses? Would it provide more accommodation for them to live in?
Well, I suppose, as Owen had noted, the department is setting the number of places available, and that in itself is a reflection of the facilities available to the higher education system. They're not really able to make places available if they don't have facilities to adequately educate and look after those students. So this actually is one of the cases where throwing more money at the problem is definitely a solution. We just need to have more facilities and more places available for our students. as the number of people accessing higher education increases to grow year on year.
Owen Holohan, back to you as a guidance counsellor. Have some of the points become really too much? And I see, for example, dentistry at University College Cork, 613 points. I know you have to be bright to be a dentist, but do you really, should it be that you need 613 out of 625 points? Occupational therapy, 566. Every course at UCD requires at least 400 points. Is that actually getting us the people that we want into the various courses, or is it only making it for the absolute elite exam doers?
Yeah, I suppose you're correct there. And really, it goes back to the issue is that there's only X number of places. So as a result of that, you have, you know, so say if there's 100 places on a particular course and you have 500 people trying to apply for that course, well, 400 people are going to be disappointed. So it pushes up the points, you know, it's going to be even higher. So it's not a case that you have to be bright in order to be a dentist. Of course, you have to be, you know, you, of course, you do have to have a certain standard of intelligence. But at the same time, this is the system we're working within. And really, when you look at the system, it's really up to the HAIs to really have a look at this and change the system, because it's nothing to do with secondary schools. We're just providing the Leaving Cert and the students do the exam, and this is the access that has to be to get into the university system. So really, you know, if you look at say I help students that are deciding that they're going to go to Europe instead, because in Europe, many countries, it's so much different. You apply for a course, yes, you have to have a certain amount of grades in your subjects and stuff like that, but it's not a points race. And in many cases, students get accepted onto courses and they go over there and they start them. So in a lot of ways, you know, it does go back to what Daniel is saying there. It does come back to funding. And when you look at countries like the Netherlands and Spain and Germany and places like that, where you see a lot of Irish students now starting to head, you know, in terms of accommodation and all that, it's very comparable to Ireland, maybe a little bit cheaper. But they have more places that can take on these students. So, you know, so students may only have to get, so say if you're looking at dentistry, students may only need a certain grade in chemistry or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter what you're getting, your English, Irish and maths necessarily.
Because you have an aptitude for going towards the chemistry and whatever. And Daniel Walsh at the USI, I know you expressed pleasure there about 89,000 people applying for CAO courses, but there are listeners pointing out that you get large dropout rates, because when many people get to college, they find it's not for them, and that maybe we need to be encouraging more people to go for apprenticeships and trades rather than making going to third level for academic stuff the be all and end all.
Well, look, absolutely, there's value to apprenticeships and trades, and certainly we should be encouraging and funding those initiatives that are leading people down those roads. But at the end of the day, it's increasingly the case that at the very least a level 8, but increasingly so, masters and beyond are necessary for so many of the high-paying jobs that are being brought in by international organisations into Ireland. So to suggest that we can, that the solution to the underfunding of the HAI sector is just to funnel people out of it, I don't think that necessarily is a sustainable solution.
Well, a lot of those jobs in building the office blocks and data centres and in building homes or in doing the carpentry or the plumbing, the electricity for them, the electrical work, those can all be very well-paid jobs as well.
Absolutely they can. And if someone is interested in pursuing that, then everything should be put in place to make sure that they can pursue that and that they can do so in a way that allows them to look after themselves through the education process and beyond. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't empower students who are interested in studying law or dentistry or any of the courses available through HEIs to pursue that.
Thank you very much, Daniel Walsh of the USI, Owen Holohan, Guidance Counsellor with the Institute of Guidance Counsellors Ireland.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.